All right. We started a new session Thursday night, and we titled our session Empowered by the Word. Now, I want to take you into some things today. We went into a little bit of it on Thursday night, but I want to take you into it again and show you some things that that can bless your life if you can understand it. Amen. Now, we saw in our session that the Word of God must be sown. It must be sown in the good ground of our hearts. The Word of God must be sown in the good ground of our hearts. The Word of God must be sown in the good ground of our hearts. Now, in our session, we saw that the Father provides seed for the sower. The Father provides seed for the sower. Amen. Now, if you would ask me, as a pastor, what is the missing ingredient when the church is concerned, where the believer in Christ is concerned, if you would ask me? Well, my answer would be to your question, the missing ingredient would be right here. We haven't understood the importance of sowing the seed of the Word in the good ground of our hearts. We haven't understood that. We haven't seen the value of it. Amen. And it's very important. It's very valuable to sow the seed of the Word in the good ground of your heart. Now, Thursday night, I went into some things that I'm not going to go into tonight. I mean, today, because I need to move on. But if you get that CD, you'll see some of the things I talked about, and it'll help you to catch up with us. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Let's look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. It says, "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness." Now, we use this verse in talking about giving. And rightly so, because the verse is talking about giving. That's what the verse is talking about. It's talking about giving. But the principle is not limited to giving. Not only do we sow money, but we also sow the Word. So this principle would fit in us sowing the seed of the Word. Just like we sow money, we can sow the seed of the Word. Now, I said this on Thursday evening to you. If you would sow the Word, you wouldn't have a problem sowing money. One of the main reasons we have a problem sowing money is because we have a problem sowing the seed of the Word. Are you listening? Now, see, the Word and God cannot be separated. The Word and Jesus cannot be separated. One of the reasons we don't obey God in different areas is because we haven't taken the time out to sow the seed of the Word in our hearts. The word in the heart will direct the life. Are you listening? And so we run into a lot of situations and things because the seed of the word is not sown. The word of God works just like a seed does. Now, if a man doesn't sow the seed of the word in the good ground of his heart, then the word will not produce. The word of God produces to the same measure that is in the heart of a man. Are you listening? And that's for real. My buddy. Amen. Now I want you to look at Mark 4:14. I want to look at that for a moment. Let's look at that for a moment. Now listen at what he says here. He says, the sower soweth the word. Now, this tells us that the word of God can be sown. You know, just like we put, we emphasize sowing money, the word can be sown just like we sow money. And it should be sown. See, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. Now say with me, I am a sower. Amen. Now, the new creation man in Christ is a sower. God sees the new creation man in Christ as a sower. The new creation man in Christ has to see himself in the same fashion that God sees him. Amen. God has faith that the new creation man is a sower. Hallelujah. That's how he sees us. Sees us as sowers. See, the sower sows the word. Now, look at let's look at the book of Luke. Let's go to the book of Luke 8:11. Boy, you guys moving today. I like that. You guys on time. Now listen to what he says. Now the parable is this. Listening? Yes. The seed is the word of God. 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 So in other words, God's word is a seed. It's a seed. That this is what you're doing. This is what's happening right now. You're receiving the seed of the word. God has faith that you will sow the seed of the word because he has faith in the fact that you are a sower. You are a sower. Every man in Christ is a sower. Every woman in Christ is a sower. You are a sower of the word. You are a sower of the word. Amen. And God has faith in that. Hallelujah. Now, the verse helps us to see that the word of God is a seed. Other words, the word of God works like a seed. What that means is that the word of God will not produce until it is planted or sown in the good ground of your heart. Isn't that powerful? See, it won't produce until it's sown in the good ground of your heart. it will not produce. You can hear it for 70 years, but if you don't put it in your heart, it won't produce. Amen. Every new creation man in Christ has the responsibility of planting or sowing the seed of the word in the good ground of his heart. That's your responsibility. Nobody can do that for you. Only you can do that for you. Amen. Sow the seed of the word. Now, let's go to the book of John, chapter 10. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 10. Let's look at verse 10. Hallelujah. We'll read it from both translations. He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's read it from the Amplified translation. He says, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's very powerful. Amen. Now notice what he says in the beginning there. The thief. The thief. The thief. Who's the thief? The devil is the thief. Amen. Wherever the word is being sown, the thief cometh. And we're going to look at that. Wherever the word is being sown, the thief cometh. Now, notice what he come to do, to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, I want to submit this to you, and I want you to hear it, and hear it good. The main thing that the devil is after is the word that's being sown. That's what he's after, more than anything else. Are you listening? Now remember, if the word is not sown in the heart, it cannot produce. You see? Now if the word is not producing for you, then the devil can show feed you all types of lies. Amen. So the word has to produce for me. But before it produces for me, I have to sow it in the good ground of my heart. I have to sow it there. Are you listening? Now, Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, or to the full. The NIV says to the full. The Amplified Bible says to the full, to the overflow. Are you listening? Now I want to ask you a question right here. Well, ask you a question. Can we separate Jesus from the Word? Can we separate the word from Jesus? So it would be safe for me to say it like this. And I wouldn't be taking away from the context of the scripture. The word cometh. And it gives life to the full. To the overflow. The word cometh. Remember now, Jesus and the Word are one. The Word cometh. You see, the Word cometh. And the Word produces life to the overflow. Hallelujah. Now, if we want the overflowing life, we have to plant or sow the seed of the Word in the good ground of our hearts. Now, every new creation man in Christ don't have to fret about the fact if he's good ground. You're good ground. You are good ground. So if I plant the seed of the Word in the good ground of my heart, it will produce the abundant life, the overflowing life. That's what it'll do. Are you listening? But now, I believe we have a lot of distractions right there. God knows what the sowing of the seed of the Word in the good ground of your heart can produce. But not only does God know, what your enemy knows. And I'm going to show you in these sessions about 7 distractions that will approach you. And how you deal with them will determine what you'll do in the way of sowing the seed of the Word in the good ground of your heart. Are you listening?
Yes.
See the Word coming. Amen. Now, did you get that? Now let's look at John 6:63. I want to show you something over there right quick. Now notice what Jesus says here. Notice what, let me see if I want to read it out of that translation. I want to read it out of both translations. I'll start here, but we'll go to the Amplified. Now, listen at what Jesus said. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, now pay close attention, unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's the same word. When he says, I come, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the same word. Means the very same thing. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let's read it from the Amplified Translation. It is the Spirit who gives life. It is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The Word truth that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. He says the words that I've been speaking to you, they are spirit and life. They are spirit and life. They are spirit and life. Now, another way we can put this, the words I've been speaking to you, they are filled with spirit life. So the Word is filled with spirit life. Spirit life is the good life. Spirit life is the overflowing life. He says the fleshly life profits nothing. It has no benefits in it whatsoever. Can't be compared to spirit life. Now, if I plant the seed of the word in my heart, or the good ground of my heart, then it will produce spirit life. That's what it produces. I remember Paul telling us in the book of Galatians, he said, walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So how do I walk after the spirit? See, the first thing I have to do to begin that process is begin to plant the seed of the word of God in the good ground of my heart. Now, that's good. I'm going to show you, man. We're about to get into some stuff here. I'm going to get into a little bit of it today. It's more than a notion, though. And I always tell you guys that. So it's more than a notion. It takes determination to live the way God desires you to live. But it's worth it. When you look at it overall, it's worth it. Are you with me? All right. The point here is this. The enemy is after the word. See, you're hearing. Now listen to me. He's after the word you're hearing. Now, I'm going to say it again because, you know, it bears saying again. See, here's what I want you to see. I want you to understand it. He's after the word you're hearing. He's after the word you're hearing. And I'm going to show you. Now, he doesn't want you to plant or sow it. Amen. God knows, and the enemy knows, that if you plant it or sow it, it will produce. Yeah. What will produce? Now listen. Listen good. The word that you're hearing, it will produce. Don't bypass it. Don't overlook it, because it will produce. Don't pick parts you like and parts you don't like. Amen. Eat it all. The parts you don't like and the parts you like. Eat it all. Eat all of it, because it has the ability to produce. Sometimes you don't see and understand why it said, because you don't have enough growth for it yet. Hallelujah. But you'll grow up to it and you'll say, that man, there it is. Man, I didn't know why he was saying that. Man, when he first said that, I couldn't understand it. I don't know why he said it, but God, things have happened. Things will happen. Course of time will pass, and you'll say, hey, man, now I know. So don't be thrown off by what you don't understand right off, because this has to be said, and time will come, and you'll understand it. That's why you got to stay teachable. Just eat it all. Amen. Most of you who are with me, you've grown up with me. And you've grown up to see and understand things. But if you stay with me, you'll keep growing up. Yeah, I'm going to say some things you don't understand. Yeah, you're going to wonder why I said that. I'm said it because it was given. Paul said, that which I receive, I delivered unto you.
Yes, sir.
Don't develop an arrogant spirit. Stay teachable. Jesus said, there were many things I could say to you, but I can't say it. But when the Holy Ghost has come, he'll unfold it. He's the unfolder of it anyway. Everything you don't understand, pray in the Spirit about it. Don't judge and be critical about it. You didn't know that was a sign of immaturity, huh? Amen. You guys who got children, they don't understand what you're talking about. But watch the day come. Judge will go understand. Man, my daddy told me this. Amen. Are you listening? Okay. Do you understand that? The enemy will work hard to prevent you from sowing the seed of the word into the good ground of your heart. Now, we're going to dig into this a little bit, and then we're going to stop. I'm just going to get to one of them today, but I want to show you this here because the Lord showed it to me. I want to show you this here. Let's go back to Mark. Let's go to Mark. Did I finish that? Okay, good. Mark 4:15. King James. Are you ready? He says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. My. Now, I submit to you, he not after the word you just reading in the Bible. He not in the word you just reading in the book. He's after the word you hear. See, the word you hear helps you to understand and discern every other word you hear. Did you catch that? See, the first principle of the oracle of God is that someone teach you. That's what he's after. He's after the word taught. He's after the word that's taught to you on a weekly basis. He's after that word. Because if he can snatch that, he can goof up your understanding, because this is where you get understanding and discernment from. You ever notice God didn't call angels to preach? He called men. I don't have time to give you the whole layout, but that's what he's after. Because everything you learn to do, you learn to do it from the word that you hear, taught. Whatever you've learned, you've learned it because you've heard some things taught. Amen. Now, I could show you some other stuff, but we need to get into the nitty-gritty of this here. We're not going to fool with that. Now, here we go. Who are the wayside hearers? Who are the wayside hearers? Who are they? Who are they? There are three groups, three categories that you can get in that will put you in this position. Three. Okay? I had never seen that before. Now, looking into this wayside here very carefully, because I really want you guys to understand this and see it. Because if you can understand it and see it, the chances of you winning in this situation is tremendous. If you can't see it, the chances of you being deceived is about 90%. Now, the main thing about the wayside here is that he has no desire or interest in the word that is being sown in his heart. So he has no interest or desire. No desire or no interest. Now listen, I didn't say in the word at all, but the word that's being sown. Has no interest. No desire, no interest in the word that's being sown. Now, I'm up here from week to week. I can read body language like you can read a book. Now, there's one thing you can't fool me in, is your interest or your desire. But the main thing about a wayside here is the fact that he has no desire, no interest in the word. Now, listen to me good now. That's being sown. Now, there are different reasons for not having a desire or interest in the word being sown. There are many different reasons. Now, some people, they get saved, but they never develop a serious desire or interest in the word. They never developed that. It's one of the reasons. See, they never developed a desire or interest for the word. They didn't get saved to get in the word. They had problems. They had needs. And all they wanted was their problem solved and their needs met. So they don't have any interest or desire in planting the seed of the word in the good ground of their heart. See, they didn't get saved for that. They don't realize it's a part of the package, but they didn't get saved for that. Amen. All I want is God to solve my problem and meet my needs. And if he can't do that, I don't have time for nothing else. All this stuff about y'all talking about planting the seed of the word, I didn't come here for all that. So therefore, I don't have no interest in all that. Hallelujah. They got saved to get their problems solved and their needs met, and that's it. In most cases, these people, now don't y'all get mad and start throwing no rocks over here. Because I got to say some things to you. Sound like a broken record. I got to say some things to you. Amen. In most cases, these people don't stay in fellowship with the Lord very long at all. Most of these people are not committed to church attendance. Keep your rocks. They come to church once in a while, Because sometimes they do realize that God has been good to them. So, I'm going to give God a little service. Because after all, he's good to me. Most of these people, if you ask them, where your church at? They don't have one. They just drift from church to church. And they'll find a church or two that they like. And they attend that church more often than others. But see, they're not interested in the word. You see. Amen. I often tell you guys the story of the young lady that told me that all this stuff I'm preaching, she ain't seeing none of it happen in her life and all that kind of stuff she told me, you know. And she still got the same problem, same situation. But the conclusion of our conversation was, you still have the same life. I mean, she had a new life because she would accept Christ, but guess what? She never changed the things she was doing. So all of her problems and situations were the results of what she was doing. And if you don't change them problems don't go nowhere. God is not interested, I told you, in your problems as much as he is interested in you. He wants to change you. And if he can change you, then a lot of stuff will change about you and around you. Are y'all still here? See, people are not interested in that. They got people, they come to church, but they're not interested in no word. They're not interested in no word. You know, they just, you know, God been good to me and I'm going to go to church today. Now, when I first was trying to get a hold of my wife there, I went to church with her and her mama. I wasn't interested in no church. I'm trying to make an impression on her mama. What church? I'm after this girl. So if I look like I'm a church boy, her mama might like me and just let me slide on in there. And of course she did. And here we are, 40 years later. But the Lord got in that thing somewhere. You see? But it don't always happen like that. But I wasn't interested in no church. And I got a lot of people, they come to church, they're not a bit more interested in the word than I'm an astronaut. Amen. Because they don't make any plans to do anything with it. Y'all got them rocks? Now, they never develop a desire for the word. Now, let's see, I don't want, amen. They get saved, they get their problem solved, and their needs met, and that's it. In most cases, these people don't stay in fellowship with the Lord very long at all. Now, they don't stay in fellowship with the Lord. They're born of the Lord, but they don't stay in fellowship with him. Now, some of them go to church, but they don't have no fellowship with God. At all. They go to church, all right, but they don't have. Some of them go to church, some of them don't. Some of them, you know, they got that group that go once in a while. But they don't have no fellowship with God. So they don't have no deep interest in the things of God at all. All they want is their needs met, amen, and their problems solved. After that, forget it. Now, most of these people are not committed. I told you all of that. I don't want to tell you that again. Now, the main reason the enemy could come and take the word that was sown in their heart is because they had no interest in the word that was sown. They had no interest in it. Now, in Matthew's gospel, he says the enemy took the word that was sown because they did not understand it. But they did not understand the word because they had no interest in it. Show me something you understand that you have interest in. Don't have no interest in. Don't have it. Amen. I was in 11th grade battling algebra. You know why I didn't understand algebra? Ask me. Had no interest in it. But they told me, if you don't pass this course, you won't move on to the next grade. Guess what happened, Merv? I quickly got interested in it. I got so interested till I got a tutor. I even stayed after school. Now, you know, I was seriously interested because I have to go to this next grade. I have to go. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? If you don't have interest in a thing, you're definitely not going to understand it. Amen. All of a sudden, algebra became so valuable to me, so I wouldn't stay after school. And then I had a nice lady who tutored me, and shucks, I had fun because she was a fun teacher. And she broke it down to me, showed me exactly what it was about. And my teacher could have did that, but I wasn't interested. She up at the board, I'm writing letters. I'm not kidding you. I'm writing letters. I wasn't interested in that. Algebra. Amen. I had an English teacher. I just rolled my eyes at him. He gave me a C. Wasn't interested. Just wasn't interested. When you're not interested, you don't understand anything. See? Amen. That's why when they asked me, they said, if you can be 22 again, would you do it? I said, only if I can have the sense I got now. If I can't have the sense I got now, leave me stay where I'm at. Because you're talking about dumb. You too? You talking about dumb and made dumb decisions. And boy, I did some dumb stuff. Do you hear me? It's unreal, the dumb stuff I did. I look at it now and squinch. Ooh, how I did that. You ever look back and wonder how you did some stuff you did? Boy, that was dumb. Amen. Hallelujah. See where I'm at. Amen. Are you still following me? See, they don't understand because they have no interest. What is the work of the enemy here? I want to show you the work of the enemy here. The work of the enemy is to get the person to look to their own understanding about the things and ways of God. That's his objective. To get you to lean to your own understanding about the things and ways of God. Let's look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Then, got it? Let's do it from the message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart and don't try to figure out everything on your own. Amen. People get saved. But they never trust God. They're always trying to figure it out for themselves. You know, people feel like they don't have time for all of that other stuff. Praying and making confession. I don't have time for that. Pastor don't understand. I have a busy life. You ain't that busy. Let me tell you something. Unorganized people are unorganized. You're just not organized. You don't plan. You don't set things so you can do things. Mostly everything in your life you do randomly. Nothing designed and purposed. So when it comes to the things of God, you ever notice? You don't have time. But now, get out of a job and get an interview for a new job. You ever notice how you do? I'm going to bed. I got an interview in the morning. And you planning for that interview. All I got to tell you, you have an interview. And you planning from day one for that interview. Make sure you clean. Drop your ghetto language. Yes, sir. You know what? See, we make plans for the things that are important to us. Things that are valuable to us. See, we make plans for those things. We make plans for those things. But now when it comes to God, I ain't got time for all of that. I mean, study the word, pray. I mean, I say a prayer on my way in the morning, and what is he talking about? I don't have time for all that. I have a busy life. I'm trying to accomplish things. Why not be like the man with the bones? Accomplish it. And then God said, tonight I require your life. I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm just telling you the way life runs. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Come on, man. You don't have time for the things of God because you didn't plan for them. I found that everything I plan for, I have time for. That's an exaggerated thing there. So I don't have time. You're exaggerating. You have time. You just haven't organized your time to have time. Amen. I'm going to show you some stuff in this session. Oh, God, we got about 3-4 weeks of it. I'm going to show you some stuff to blow your mind. Because my mind was blown when I saw this stuff. It was just blown. I said, yeah, that's me. When you can look at the scripture and say, yes, that's you, you're making some headways, baby. Come on. Now, I want to look at what I read. Verse what? Verse 5. Let's go to verse 7, 5 through 7, okay? He says, listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Verse 7. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Amen. Drop down to verse 9 and 10. Honor God with everything you own. You know who gave you time? Who gave you time? God gave us time. He only gave us so much time. He gave you time. Honor God with your time. Now watch. Honor God with everything you own. You own time. Give him the first and the best. I'm praying for God to speak to some of y'all about giving him the first and the best. Amen. You turn from that quick, huh? That's good. All right. I'm hanging. Your bonds will burst. Your bonds will burst. Your wine, vase, or whatever will brim over. Now, here's what I want you to see. Now, people don't believe this here, but I'm going to tell you something. Now, when God gets your money, you get his favor. God says, I will accelerate the fruit of righteousness in your life if you'll honor me with money. See, most people say, God after no money. Y'all after the money. You better read your Bible. Amen. I honor God with my money. God will favor me. I'm telling you, some of y'all are going to see this. You might be running along good right now. But somewhere, you're going to get in a zap zone. Zoop, zap, it's over. Your favor gone. Listen, you got to honor God. Now, you remember Solomon was the wisest man of his time and was the richest man of his time. But he always honored God. So he had enough to honor God. You have enough too. Your money, see, giving your money will change your spiritual atmosphere. Man, I don't know what it is. You know, money makes the world turn, I guess. And we have issues with money. Issues with money. And this church should never have issues with money because I'm taught you. But I won't show you what happened. But the devil's come to steal. He come to steal that knowledge. He come to steal that commitment. And it's a shame that you allow him to. Now, I don't have time to fool with the depths of that either. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:2. I don't have time for this, but I won't get to it. How much time I got? I don't have much time at all, do I? Mm-mm. Somebody said, mm-mm. 1 Corinthians 14:2. King James, watch what he said. 14:4, I'm sorry. He said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And you know, then the crazies tell you about the other part, but I'm going to tell you about this part. Now listen to me. Edify yourself. I mean, you build yourself up spiritually. See, you got to start praying in the spirit. Now, you don't have to have 15 hours of praying in the spirit. Chop it in pieces. Take you 5 minutes and, you know, pray in 5 minutes and then go along another 2 hours and take another 5 and another 5. And then look, you got 15, 5 times 3 is 15, right? You got 15 minutes. Then before you go to bed, get you another 5 and you got 20 minutes of it. You do that every day? You know what happens? You become God conscious. You become aware of God in your dealings. See, you won't deal outside of the will and purposes of God if you'll have consciousness of God. And sometime in our dealings, see, we just don't have consciousness of God because we don't do things to have consciousness of God. Get your 20 minutes in a day. Don't try to get them all at one time. Remember what I told y'all? God chopped down a tree. I said, go outside, chop on that tree 5 minutes. Then go back inside and drink some Kool-Aid. Say, I'll rest yourself. Say, 5 minutes? Yeah, 5 minutes. See, you try to get 500 chops on that tree and don't come back for a whole 3 months. Wear yourself out. They won't see you no more. Don't see you no more. That's how y'all do God. Y'all trying to, yes, Lord. And you're looking at that clock trying to make you hour. Don't even worry about the hour. Now, when you mature, you'll get that out. Work your way to it. That's a problem a lot of people have. They won't do it all at one time. And then God don't see him for 2 years. It's me again. He said, where you been? I wore myself out the first time, Lord. Amen. You can't, look. Be wise in the things you do. Be wise in the thing you do. Amen. See, listen. God gonna bless you. He gonna bless you the same way. He said, well, I do 2 hours. He gonna still bless you the same way. Come on, man. All right. So Sometimes we won't do all them hours because we won't tell people we did them. Let me tell you something. I pray 4 hours a day. Then you get this poor guy over here. He's babe in Christ. He trying to do 4 hours and killing himself. And you done lied. You ain't doing no 4 hours. You did 4 hours, 2 days, what? 1 day and took off, what? A month. Man, y'all need to quit doing that to people. Now, let me show you one more thing here. I got to stop. I ain't going to be able to get into it. Now, here's the second thing. The Lord showed me three things that creates a wayside here. This is the second thing. A person that's been around for a while can become a wayside here. That's kind of surprising, huh? You would think, man, I've been around a while, and ain't no way I'm going to be no wayside here. But that ain't true. Listen. They have heard the word, but they have never gotten results from it. See, you got a lot of people in the church, they've heard the word, amen, but they've never gotten results from hearing the word. So they have become discouraged. Because of it, they don't have an ear to hear the word anymore. Now, how many of you know that the word doesn't produce just because you hear it? And it's easy to think because you sit and hear the word, you know, you're a word person. You're not a word person until you do the word. And so they don't get any results. I mean, they faithful. They got if you go check, they got 117 notebooks. They've been taking notes for many years now. But all they do is take their notes, you know. And they fill their notebook up and put it in a neat little place. Don't go back to that stuff. They don't ponder that stuff and meditate on it. You see the devil after the word you're hearing. So he gonna fight you on that one. See, people, amen. Let me see. How many notebooks you got, Ethel? How many notebooks you got? You got quite a few of them, huh? Mm-hmm. Tyrone, how many notebooks you got?
Oh, I got quite a few.
But I do it. I believe you. How many notebooks you got? Got a lot of them. You know. Then you got some of y'all ain't got a notebook. Been here 26 years, ain't got one notebook. But I know you got it right there. You got it right there. I don't trust nothing right there. She got notebooks. But you see, do you really meditate those notebooks? Do you really meditate on that stuff? Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a fight to meditate anything you write. It's a fight, man. It's a fight. And devil, look, you go to studying this stuff and trying to write this stuff, then the devil pops up in your mind. Look at this. Then he giving you some revelation on this. But that ain't the direction God points you into. He said, study that. Amen. I got to stop. I remember when I first started, I was reading all of Brother Hagin's books. Had all of just about every tape. Amen. I sit down and listen to them and read them books. You know, my mind won't jump on something. See, I come out of the Church of God in Christ, you know, my mind jump on that Church of God in Christ stuff. I had to pull it back. You know. I'm telling you, see, when you pastor, you pastor supernaturally. And so, in pastoring supernaturally, you see things. And then you won't jump on some of the things you see. God said, don't jump on that. Stay with that. But I need to tell them about it. You don't need to tell them. I got it. You just teach that. I had to learn that. Because where I come from, they pick on you, you see. When they see something, there they go. They got a message for that. They don't know. The more you preach on the person's situation, the worse they get in it. Leave them alone. Let God fool with them. Now, I don't really think. Now, if I catch you, I caught you by the Holy Ghost. I didn't design nothing to get you. I don't design my teachings to get you. I've grown out. Man, you got to grow up out of that kind of stuff. You can't help people trying to get them. Are you listening to me? First thing, he's doing that because he's a babe. She's doing that because she's a babe. And you a babe, too. You preaching, you a babe. You trying to kill you. You're going to cut it out of her, huh? I'm going to cut you with this word. You ain't cutting nobody. You're destroying stuff. That's what you're doing. I don't fool with that kind of stuff. Amen. If you get caught, you get caught. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He don't use no sickness and disease to chasten you. Amen. He uses his word. Sometimes you cut, I don't even know you cut. Good. Don't even tell me either. Amen. That's why I like people to talk to me about stuff. Because guess what? When it come up in the message, I told him that. You ain't told me nothing. This is inspired. Don't tell me. Please don't tell me. Mm-hmm. I got to stop, got to stop, got to stop. Amen. That's number two. The first thing they need is to understand that you don't get results from the word by just hearing it alone. You have to apply it, then you have to walk, then you have to wait for your results. Are you listening? Now I'll come back and we'll talk about this wayside here a little bit more. I got another one I want to show you. They got three of them. We looked at the first one. There's another one. We started on the second one. We'll go back to him. Then we'll drop into that third one. Third one going to amaze you. Amen. The third one of those people, I'm going to just give you a little clue. The third one is those people who believe they have knowledge of the word. And you got to get a balance there because you don't want to hear nobody but you after you get a little understanding. You won't hear nobody but you. And then when you listen at other people, you got an arrogant spirit when you're listening to other people. We're going to get deep into that one. I'm going to show you something about that one too. Amen? Man, you got to keep balance with growth. You got to keep your head in the word. You can't let your head get bad. Paul said, knowledge puffs up. He say knowledge puffs up. Other words, knowledge will cause you to be arrogant. And when you get too arrogant, you don't hear nobody. You ever saw people when they preach, they all excited? When other people preaching, they barely paying attention. You ever seen that before? I gotta stop. Oh, Lord, I want to get so deep into this stuff, I don't know what to do. But I just hope it helped you. Yes. Just don't want to unfold it to you. I just wanted to help you so you can see the errors that we can fall into. Because a lot of you think you ain't no wayside here. When we get finished with this, you're going to have to examine yourself. God bless you today. God bless you. Give me a wave.